on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football. Welcome, Yunkerman, Bienvenue, and whatever other languages Kate Abdo can speak. She really has raised the bar, I think, this week with her coverage there at the Ballon d'Or this evening. If you were watching the telly, on, I think it was on Sky Sports or wherever was your local broadcaster, yeah, you would have seen that Cristiano Ronaldo won the Ballon d'Or again. Joining me this evening is, of course, Terry DeFellin and Jan Bilton. We're going to be discussing that very briefly, and then we're going to get on to the real meat of our podcast this week, which is the managerial merry-go-round. Oh, I'll probably have to put some merry-go-round music in on that. Terry, Cristiano Ronaldo wins Ballon d'Or.
Shock horror.
Yeah.
Shock horror.
Isn't that shock horror?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like... We do this every year, and I don't like the bloody Ballon d'Or. I think it's rubbish. But, yeah. Messi's not had the best... Messi's not had the best season... Apart from the fact that he got to the World Cup final. But then a lot of people think that he didn't really set the World Cup alight, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then Manuel Neuer, I mean, he was brilliant in the World Cup. He's brilliant for Bayern Munich, and he's kind of redefining the goalkeeping role. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, my view is, you know, this Thomas Müller, for me, is the player of the year.
Yeah.
I think he was outstanding in the World Cup and outstanding for Bayern Munich. I mean, it's always Cristiano Ronaldo, isn't it? And I mean, he's an attacking player. Yeah, he's a fantastic player. But it is all a little bit boring. And it just seems to sort of like fit into a narrative. I'm more intrigued about the fact that Kate Abdo, did she anchor the actual event?
She did. She did indeed.
So she was there. She is multilingual,
yes.
Is Kate Abdo.
She proved it.
She originally was at Sky Sport HD in Germany, and was based there for quite some time, and which is probably where she's sort of, so she's quite well travelled.
Yes.
And she moved back to England a year ago, perhaps. I don't know what the circumstances are behind her move. So she is she's an extremely capable broadcaster.
Yeah, certainly. Well, she's certainly speaking German to Manuel Neuer and Spanish to Leo Messi, and I think I detected Portuguese when she was speaking to Cristiano Ronaldo. So
well,
wow.
Yeah, sorry, I had to point out a mistake there to you, Graham. But
Leo
Messi's not from Spain.
Oh no, but he's from Argentina. Yeah.
So he speaks Argentinian, does he?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on,
bloody hell! You bring a northerner on. Seriously.
I wonder how Kate Abdo's northern is.
I
bet you couldn't speak to me.
I bet it's fantastic.
It's almost as good as mine. My northern, I foxed Graham listeners into thinking that Jan had said hello twice. Because I said hello in a Jan accent.
Because that's exactly... Jan accent.
Terry, can you say that again? Because Jan just spoke right over you. Just said hello when you were trying to say something, didn't he?
Without
hello,
without even moving my lips.
Yeah, just stop it again.
It's almost hilarious, isn't it? Racism, this is. Racism.
Oh, yes. I suppose that's all we've really got to say about the Ballon d'Or. Yes, someone won it. If it's important to you, then all other media will be full of it, so you can find out exactly who voted where as well, which is interesting to some people, I'm sure. But the thing that we've really been scratching our heads and rubbing our chins over is the managerial merry-go-round, which one of our more delightful metaphors that comes around usually around this time. It's actually been a bit later, isn't it?
It's a bit late this year.
Yeah,
it's like Easter. It kind of moves, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is a movable feast. But yeah, it all kicked off, didn't it, with Neil Warnock.
Neil Warnock.
It does seem like ages ago now, doesn't it?
It does.
It all happened since then.
It's all transformed. Yeah, so Neil Warnock was sacked. I don't know, has Neil Warnock actually said anything since then? Because I'm wondering about that. I don't know what the... Because, I mean, I'm assuming he was sacked for footballing reasons, but... You know, usually when a manager is sacked for footballing reasons, they would usually be inclined to say something, particularly Warnock, who's not backward in coming forward.
Yeah.
And has, you know, contacts and friends in the media, and presumably has the outlet. He seems to be quite quiet about
that. Maybe he's got a new book coming out.
Maybe he just decided to get on with writing a new book.
Well, he did come out of retirement, to be fair. So maybe he's just gone back
have
to,
know what,
you know, I'm going to go back and grow tomatoes, play a bit of golf.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I kind of hope that he is happy. But yeah, it all seemed, I mean, it wasn't sudden in the respect that obviously the results were very, very poor.
Mm.
But I was quite surprised because I thought, well, you know, the likelihood is that we're stuck with this guy until the end of the season now because, you know, they gave him the job before the season, after the season had started. But I must confess I was quite pleased, although insofar as anyone is pleased to see someone lose their job. I figure Neil Warnock can afford the hit and he probably would have been paid off, so I don't think it's that big a deal.
You're pleased with the change of direction?
I'm certainly pleased that he was gone, yeah. And I was trepidatious about the thought of the replacement, but perhaps we can come to that.
Mm.
Maybe I'm leaping ahead.
Well, I don't think so, because I think it really leads into the shortlist that was created. And like, what did you think when the names were being touted around there? I mean, but there was Tim Sherwood was one that was being used by lots of people on Twitter to goad Palace fans.
yeah, indeed.
And of course,
and it worked.
And it worked, of course.
Certainly goaded me.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't happy about the idea of Tim Sherwood. Not necessarily because I think he's necessarily a bad manager, but I would have liked to. So I wanted an experienced Premier League coach.
Yes.
Because I really think that's what the club, like what all Premier League clubs need, is an experienced Premier League coach.
Of course,
Tim Sherwood is not that.
Within our little bubble, of course, there's a lot of football hipsters there that were suggesting European coaches. Did you think that was ever on the cards?
No, because I don't think that Steve Parish, bless his cottons, is aware of any European coaches.
He hasn't got a beard for a start, has he?
No, he hasn't got a beard. I think he wears glasses, though. I mean, he works in the media, so there is an element of hipsterism about him.
I suggested a perfectly good European coach.
Who did you suggest?
Paolo Di Canio.
You did.
You little minx.
Yeah, indeed.
Didn't go down too well with you that one time.
Yeah, how surprising.
Isn't it amazing how this works, isn't it? As soon as the manager goes, people start just like, you want to have this one?
Yeah.
I mean, I must admit, I was guilty of it myself. I mean, I was touting Claudio Ranieri.
That's right, you were. Also very helpfully as well. Yeah, I mean,
we want to help you through, brother.
Yes. Yeah. My wet dream was Thomas Tuchel, the former Mainz coach, who is destined for great things. And I thought that maybe it would be wonderful if he could spend a couple of years up in the Premier League at Palace. But it is precisely that. It's a wet dream. So that was never going to happen.
Is Mainz becoming a hotbed for young coaches, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, not so much. I mean, well, yes, I suppose so. Yeah, actually, because his predecessor was Jurgen Klopp. His predecessor was Jorn Andersen. But his big predecessor before that was Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. Who obviously we know who he is.
Yes.
And Thomas Tuchel is thought he's no longer at Mainz, but he's on gardening leave, and it's thought that he is going to go on and become, you know, a big time manager in the same vein as Klopp. Although the worry is he's going to go to RB Leipzig and work for the Red Bull Corporation. Okay. Anyway, that aside, I always really thought it would have been cool if he'd come over to the Premier League and maybe do a turn at Palace. But it was never, ever, ever going to be on largely because I don't think Parish knows who he is.
Talking of Klopp, though, I mean, like he almost was on the managerial merry-go-round, wasn't he?
It was a rumour, wasn't it? Crazy rumour started by a journalist who is well known, has little or no connection with German football. And I don't know what happened, whether or not it was just decided, you know, for shits and giggles, you know, it's Christmas, why not let's have a laugh? Or I don't know what it was, but it went around for a while, that one, that he had resigned. But I mean, yeah, I think that was always going to be extremely unlikely. I'm astonished if Jurgen Klopp would resign under these circumstances. He would only ever go under personal circumstances, or if he was sacked, and I don't see how they're going
to
sack him.
There were a lot of Newcastle fans getting very, very excitable on Twitter about Klopp going to Newcastle.
I just could not.
At first, I thought it was a joke, and then
it was like
a snowball. It just kept on going until it got to the point where everyone was talking about it.
Everyone in Newcastle, they all look up to Newcastle because St James's Park occupies an elevated position, and you know they just see this club as being a sort of European super club, which, in my opinion, it has the capacity to do.
Yes, of course.
But right now, it is not that.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, it is, to all intents and purposes, a mid-table Premier League club.
Yeah.
The notion that Jurgen Klopp would go to Newcastle is just is genuinely fanciful.
Yeah,
and I think just betrays a lack of understanding of the European game. But I was astonished, and I mean, I had to bite my Twitter lip from time to time from some of the people who I follow on Twitter who are Newcastle fans. Just thought, you know, get a clue, for God's sake. Just be happy you've got rid of your hated manager. And yeah. You know,
who they didn't hate too much towards the end. They hated him a lot. And then they were like, oh, well, he's all right now. And then, kind of like, we're sanguine. We're not sure. Yeah. Oh, he's gone. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Fickle punch.
I think football fans, fickle. No.
Football fans aren't fickle.
Just Newcastle fans.
No, football fans aren't fickle. They're just, you know, they're pointed and, you know.
I think you're always going to be able to find an opinion from somewhere, though, aren't you? So it's like, you know, you're always going to find someone from somewhere as soon as the microphone's put under their nose is going to say something.
Fans aren't an amorphous mass.
Yes.
They are a group of individuals, and they all have individual opinions, and they express them individually.
But they all have the same opinion.
Some have different opinions, but you're looking for a fickle opinion amongst the you will always find a football fan with a fickle opinion. But I would suggest to you that on balance, most football fans are unfickle.
I particularly enjoyed out of all of
I'm
that.
I'm trying to think of what they're.
I particularly enjoyed the Clippity Clop joke that was going around on Twitter as well. Newcastle can't afford to bring in Jurgen Klopp, so they're bringing in his brother, Clippity. Did you not see that one?
No,
I enjoyed that. Yeah. I read it maybe 80 or 90 times in one day.
Yeah, really?
It was around.
Well,
yeah.
I must have been.
You must have turned off. You must have been biting your lip.
Must have checked out of Twitter.
I think there's probably a lot more Sunderland supporters on your timeline than there is on.
How dare you?
I'm just thinking that might be something that you know the people from Sunderland might find more amusing than say the us sophisticated people in the south.
The racism just continues.
Have some
more beer. Yeah, that's a little bit. That just keeps me subdued. It keeps me controlled.
Like, well, not really.
Like a mass populace with television and iPods. Just keeps them controlled, keeps them quiet in the corner. Have some more beer, Jan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Mass media and mass beer. Keeps them under control.
So what happened was the job went to Alan Pardew.
Super Al.
Yes.
Which was a surprise to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember the last time Crystal Palace paid another club to get them out of their contract, for one.
Mm. Oh, that's a good point.
Usually they find someone who's out of work. And this is usually because we're skint. But obviously at the moment we're not skint. So we've paid a lot of money.
A fair few quid to get him out of the contract.
Yeah,
he wasn't an 8-year contract.
Two and a half million?
It may have been. I don't know whether or not it was really as much as people are saying it is. But, I mean, I suspect it was over £1 million. That was a lot of money.
Mm.
And also, I mean, it took a few days to get done. I mean, Tony Pulis went from being a long way off getting a job to suddenly working for West Brom in the time that it took for Palace to sort out Pardew's contract. And I imagine that there's probably quite a lot of... I imagine that his contract with Newcastle probably had a lot of riders attached to it, which then had to be addressed. And, I mean, I'm not... I'm still not certain that this is a good thing. I'm not certain that Alan Pardew is deep down a top manager. But he's here, and certainly he's immediately struck up a good relationship with the fans, which is kind of ironic because, I mean, the semi-final goal aside, he was generally speaking abused.
Really?
As a player at Palace. He wasn't a very good player.
It was a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago, but when he scored the cup final goal, they would sing Super, Super Al and all that. But there was still very much an irony. because they loved him because he scored the goal, and so they didn't really want to be mean with him anymore. And I was going to I was at Selhurst Park at this time.
Yeah.
And it was very much a kind of, oh God, here comes Al. Al's coming off the bench. We had a really good team back then, in fairness.
Yeah.
And he wasn't quite up to it. But so it's a little bit ironic about how his kind of legacy is being romanticised a bit with certain sections at Selhurst Park. But the first two results have been very, very difficult to argue with. The Spurs game was amazing. And although the Dover game was against Dover, mm-hmm. I mean, if you wouldn't want a textbook example of how a Premier League team goes to a conference team in a cup game and wins, mm-hmm. and wins well, then that was that. That was absolutely spot on. Mm. And the fact that, you know, he's brought in Barry Bannon is pleasing, even though he's struggling a bit. And he's giving Glenn Murray a chance is pleasing. And he got something out of Wilf Zaha against Spurs. I mean, that run for that assist
be really
was like,
pleasing, isn't it?
Wow, remember that? And you suddenly thought, oh yeah, that guy, he can do that. It's been so long since he's done that. So, you know, I mean, if it pulls it together, and maybe sometimes managers and clubs just fit. Maybe that's it. I mean, you know, he's still a bit of a tool and people don't like him. He's quite objectionable. Apparently he can start a fight in an empty room. But maybe Palace need a bit of that.
Yeah.
A bit of belligerence. Yeah. A club like Palace needs a bit of that.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, there is a great atmosphere at Stella's Park now as well. When you see them live on the telly, you certainly get a feeling of they've got a real cauldron going on there now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it never used to be that way. I mean, it's quite interesting. No. I mean, this is maybe 5-6 years. The Homestead Fanatics, they're the group, the supporter group that's led that, basing themselves
on
European ultras.
Even when we all went last season, when we went to the Palace Sunderland game, they had a really good. And that wasn't just in the Homestead, was it?
No,
there's also a
that. That was I found that quite shocking, actually. Yeah. I used to go and watch Palace a lot because I used to work for a company that was a minor sponsor, so we used to get the odd tickets. So I used to go quite a bit for over a couple of years, and it was fair to say there wasn't a great deal of atmosphere, and they were kind of adrift at the time as well. To be fair, but that game, I walked into that, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, and I'm, you know, it may sound like I'm. You know, exaggerating slightly, but it was really quite intimidating, actually. Didn't expect it, and it was just constant and loud and tribal, and but you know, it did make for a great atmosphere, even though the result was.
I think the Fanatics started it off, and it's built up, and I think they understand that it used to be a right library, Selhurst Park, but by now it's quite an old. Cramped ground, but capable of generating a decent atmosphere, and I think that they're using that to its full, and it's quite, I mean, I'm quite proud of that, to be honest with you. I mean, even though I've got no right to be, but it does make me feel good that, because once upon a time we never used to be like that at all, and now, you know, we are, and we've got, you know, fans, you know, from all over the world who've admired the club based solely on you know the atmosphere in the stadium.
Yeah, it's well known, isn't it? There's a lot. In football circles, people actually refer to the Palace thing.
I think the big change that I noticed the last time I went there was that the fact that it had a younger crowd. And in times before, I remember going there and being.
Do you remember that Wolves game?
Awful Wolves game.
In the Championship.
To.
First time Warnock was in charge, we lost 2-0.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, you looked around and there certainly, it didn't look like they looked like we were the youngest guys in that part of the ground.
Yeah.
And we are not young.
No.
So, I mean, you just think, crikey, this club's in trouble.
Yeah.
But no, you're right, that's different now.
Yeah. And I think that's, which also helps with Pardew coming in, because obviously anyone under the age of 30 isn't going to remember Pardew at the club, is it?
Yeah, you won't get. I mean, all there'll be cynical types probably sitting up in the upper tier in Homesdale, where I used to have my season ticket for a season, and they're just the most grumpiest people that I've ever encountered. I mean, that's why I never renewed my season ticket, because I mean, I just checked out by that point, and. So I mean, they are still there, but I think that the narrative is really controlled by the younger fans, and it is great. So I mean, hopefully we'll stay up again this season, and that would just be great. Well, I genuinely thought we'd be relegated this season.
I mean, I think that's sure. that's the real test. If it gets to the end of the season and Palace are still 17th or better, then...
It was funny at the end of that game, the Spurs game. And he's talking about Steve Coppell, Terry Venables, Malcolm Allison. He's talking about, you know, great managers who've been here, and hopefully I'll be there. And I was thinking, blimey, you do fancy yourself a bit, don't you, mate? You know, he really does. He knows the extent of his own ego.
Do you know what, though? If he's channeling Malcolm Allison.
Get him a fedora and a cigar. Let's go.
big fur coat.
Get him in with some pictures in the bath with a porn star.
You need that, don't you? Not necessarily the porn star pictures. They're always welcome in my house. But you do need a bit of that self-belief. You need that arrogance.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you don't believe in yourself...
To have a bath with the porn star, yeah.
You need a bit of arrogance, don't you? Because there's certain demands placed on you when you're in a bath with a porn star. And, you've got a lot to live up to. This is an experienced lady.
Yes, doesn't it?
I think that, some of the best managers have had that kind of streak about them. And maybe that might be something that sets them up for something big in the future. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
No, we will know. We'll find out at some
point. That's true. We will know.
Seeing that we don't go blind looking at the pictures of Pat Nelson in the bath with the porn star.
Alas, it's difficult to get hold of Fiona Richmond in the bath with Malcolm Allison from the 1970s.
I kind of hope he's not in the picture.
He's totally in that picture.
Completely off his straw.
But it's a really old thing, and younger listeners, apologies, because you won't have got that at all. But
one for the teenagers, that.
So Newcastle are still looking for a manager, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, yeah. I don't, and they may have found. Who is it?
Remy Gard.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's unemployed, but he was playing for. He was managing Lyon for a while. Mm-hmm. But I was just reading before we came up here that there's all manner of conversations happening, and he's going to see the facilities. The training facilities just to check the toilet out. Yeah. But it's important. It's important. My grandmother won't eat in a restaurant unless she's checked the toilets out first. Not that she has to eat in the toilets.
Really, fish of the day.
So who do you think's next on the managerial merry-go-round, Terry?
You have to look at Paul Lambert, don't you?
Some people have to look at him.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the thing with Paul Lambert is, it's to a degree, Villa have kind of missed the boat. Is that you know, probably all the tasty morsels, so to speak, are not around anymore. I mean, Pulis was you always imagined that the first guy to get the job at the beginning of the sack race this season would be Tony Pulis, because he's the guy who's out of work and he's the guy who's got a fantastic record in the Premier League. But the problem is that the first team, first club to instigate the attack race was Crystal Palace. And so they weren't presumably going to get him back. Now, West Brom obviously then jumped in to, right, okay, boom, out goes Irving. We'll get rid of our guy now, get Pulis in. Meanwhile, Villa are probably going, maybe we should sack our coach. No one would, I think, would blame them if they got rid of Paul Lambert. But I don't know. Yeah, I read a short blog post by Chris Nee about that very same thing, and he suggested his thesis was that unfortunately there is nobody really around at Villa who is taking decisions there, and so Lambert is there really by default because no one's prepared to sack him, and I assume by extension no one's prepared to.
When you said there's no one around to take decisions, do you mean that no one's interested? Yeah, I mean,
Randy Lerner and the guys who own the club have just checked out. They're just not really interested anymore. Mm. I think that was the thrust of it.
That's the impression from a fan, isn't it?
You certainly get that impression. Yeah, that you certainly get that looking in there. I mean, they just don't seem to have. So they probably could use a new manager now. Maybe Lambert will turn it around, but he's been there, I think, long enough in managerial terms, in footballing terms, to say, you know, he hasn't really achieved anything with the exception of that modest cup run, which ended with them getting knocked out by Bradford.
It's not like they ever chuck money at managers, is it?
Not anymore, they don't. I mean, they did. I mean, Martin O'Neill spent a few pounds.
Well, maybe that was...
But since then, you know, I mean, it's a different situation, and you imagine that they're looking for a new owner. I mean, who would want to buy a club like Villa? The expectation's huge. I mean, the club is huge. I mean, you need to make massive investments to go in there, and you're treading water. I mean, if you want to make Villa have Villa live up to their success, you need to spend what, close to, I would say close to £100 million maybe on transfer, say over, you know, a course of a season, season and a half.
That's not more.
You know, just to get you incrementally further up the table. I mean, that wouldn't even necessarily guarantee you Europa League football. I mean, you, you have to look at that and say, well, why am I doing this? I mean, all the tasty clubs, so to speak, have, are kind of spoken for at the moment.
Mm.
And that's kind of meant that Villa and perhaps, you know, also Newcastle are kind of left behind. Big clubs, great tradition.
Everton
great
as well? Would you
Everton as well. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What do you think about Pulis as well, going to West Brom?
Well, it's a great fit.
Yeah,
I'd say it was a great fit. Yeah, and as long as he's happy with the structure there, because they use a director of football, which he seems to be. But yeah, I mean, I was not surprised that that they immediately started winning football matches, and I imagine West Brom, I think, will stay up comfortably.
And Sunderland are going to hold on to their manager for the rest of the season, though?
Yeah, I was just thinking about this the other day, because I keep thinking, it's only early in the season, but it's then not. I always remind myself that it's not until after Christmas you know where you're going to finish up, and we're two places above the relegation zone, and it's made me think, oh God, we really are into the season now. It's not early season at all. So I am fairly disappointed to be where we are, but I don't think there's anybody better out there, and maybe he just needs to get a few seasons under his belt. I don't think the knives should be out for him. I think he clearly knows what he's doing. He just needs there needs to be a bit of a restructure. He's still got a lot of the team he inherited, so you know he needs to do a bit of an overhaul there.
Yeah, well, they stay up, give him another summer to rebuild the team, to bring in more.
Yeah, I think they will. Yeah. I just don't think after the, you know, the turbulent times that we had with Di Canio, which is clearly the wrong appointment. I think that the owner probably just wants to, you know, wants a good sailor and a calm sea. And
a bit
just
of stability, yeah.
Just kind of bump along a bit, really, and see what he can do. Mm-hmm. And I think he will do something good. I think he's a good guy, he's a good manager, he knows what he's doing. So, you know, and I will take, as a Sunderland fan, finishing one place above the relegation zone every season.
So, one place behind Palace, yeah? Well then, I think we've covered a lot of ground there, haven't we? If you have an opinion on what we've said this week, please feel free to get in touch. Our contact details will be at the during the music, as they usually are.
We have had an opinion, haven't we?
We did have an opinion, yes. Matthew Webb sent us a rather long missive on our Facebook page. If you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/soundoffootball, you can see all his thinkings of what we said last week about Steven Gerrard.
Mm. Yeah, basically he blows our arguments completely out of the water.
Yeah, he does. Really tears us
off. He makes fools of us.
Frankly. He does, frankly. Yeah. And if you want to read that, read what he says, go there and put your own stuff on there. You know, just pile on to us. Go on.
We don't care.
Yeah, we're big enough. And you got something in the post as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I got something in the post. I got a giant Bundesliga calendar.
How did they get that through the letterbox?
Well, I should qualify this. When I'm saying giant, listeners, if you're imagining Godzilla fighting Mothra over Tokyo, then it's not a giant calendar at all. But it's still pretty big.
It's slightly oversized.
It's this big.
Yeah.
So, and I'm making a big shape.
Yeah. He's throwing down some big fish shapes.
Indeed. From a listener, Andrew. So thank you very much indeed, Andrew. That's very kind of you. We're going to put it up we'll put it up in the studio. Yeah. Here at Sound of the Towers.
Anyway, the music started, so it's only leaves it for me to say for me, Graham Sibley, from Terry DeFellin and from Music Dot, goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Another thrilling instalment of Sound of Football Top Trumps. Really? last week, listeners, you know that you won with Thomas Müller. But of course, your victory meant that Paroljan is now down to one card. Yeah, how are you feeling?
We're going to fight to the last man.
Yeah?
This is the last man.
Yeah.
But we're going to fight to him.
Have you got someone decent there? Yeah.
Not bad. We might live to fight another day.
Mm. Well, I was a bit late putting the picture out on Twitter, and
I saw a few votes on it.
Yeah. You saw your vote on it.
Yeah.
That's also known as cheating. And I should give you a one match ban. unfortunately, you are down to your last card, so a one match ban would be devastating to you.
Yeah.
So what I did was I showed the card to my wife and she chose instead.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
She's sort of a listener.
Well, she's listening now.
She has to listen to this every week. Yeah.
And the card I've got is Robin Van Persie. And, she went for
trophies.
She didn't go for trophies because he's got three trophies. Yeah, so the information here is accurate as of the 30th of March 2012. At the time, he only had three. You know, because what happened to him spend so much of your career at Arsenal. But she actually went instead, she went for height of 183 centimetres. Now, Jan, you're going to tell me who you've got and what height?
Okay, I've got Kaká. Height, 186.
Wow, he's a tall boy.
Terry's got...
You've got Sunderland's goalkeeper, haven't you?
this is actually a surprisingly sweet moment.
Oh, Terry, you're not going to do me, are you?
I've got Didier Drogba.
189.
Yes. Can you remember?
It's a long story why I know how tall Didier Drogba is.
And there, by a matter of 3 centimetres, Jan's reign is now over.
Jan's out.
Join us again next time for Zanor, Town of Football, Top Trumps.
Graham, would you do the honours and remove the ceremonial rubber band and the the sticker denoting Jan's initial? Well, it's just you and me, listeners. Just you and me.
Yeah.
Thee and me.